I have the opportunity to share with you the meal that I've been eating on for weeks. So let's just pull up our table to the Lord and say, Lord, feed us. Yes. From the bread of life, yes, that you've given me, and I release it to you, and let's ask him to feed us. Father God, I thank you that your plan is perfect. I thank you, Jesus, that your provision is totally complete. Now we release ourselves to the Holy Spirit to open up our spirit, soul, and body to receive the next thing that you want to impart to us to take us one step farther in the walk that brings you glory and says what amazing God we have. So we thank you in advance that that's what you're doing, and we bless your name. Amen. As I was seeking how to present what was on my heart, and that's usually my hard part because I have 1,000 details that God speaks to me all the time, and to put them together in a succinct way is my challenge. And I felt like he said, now, I've turned off that light hoping that would show that a little bit better, but it doesn't quite as much. When you see the whole picture that I have up there, it's a picture of light being released, and it's obvious that it's being released from Jesus, and all you see clearly is his hand. He is the light. He is the life, and he is the crown of life that we talked about. He's our overcomer, and he's reaching his hand out, say, come to me, come to me. And I believe this verse, John 16:33, is a capsule of what I want to release to you today. I have told you these things that where? In me. Not in yourself, not in someone else, not in the world, but in me, you have perfect peace and confidence. That's what each one of us, whether we've been able to put words on it or not, are looking for. In the deep, deep, deep parts of us, we are looking for perfect peace and confidence in him to know who we really are and who he is. So he said, I told you these things that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulations, you will have trials and distress and frustration. Can you agree with that?
Oh yeah. Okay.
Haven't all of us tasted many tribulations and many trials and much distress and frustration? Haven't we all?
Amen.
I wish I could say there will be a time you won't experience that, but it's not true. If you think that, you're living in a fantasy world.
Amen.
He says, in the world you're going to have tribulations, trials, not trails, trials and distress and frustration. You're going to have it. But at a time in your life when you did not know how to be in me, what happened? You got wounds. You got strongholds. You got gates of brass. You got iron bars. You had your needs unmet, and you were frustrated because you didn't know how to be in me. So he said, I've got good news. I told you these things, that in me you may have perfect peace. In this world, you'll have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. He said, I've got good news.
Hallelujah.
Got good news. The tribulations and the trials and the distress and frustrations are not going to go away. But I've got good news. Take courage and be confident, certain, undaunted, for who's overcome the world?
I.
Who's I?
Jesus.
Jesus. He says, I, Jesus, have overcome the world.
Hallelujah.
I've deprived it of its power to harm and have conquered it for you.
Hallelujah.
Say, that's mine.
That's mine.
That's mine. He's
mine.
Talking to me. He says, if you will learn to stay in me, I will take those things that are tribulations, trials, distress, and frustrations, I will take them. And I will turn them into hidden treasures. I will take you to the deep secret places and turn it for good. Isn't that amazing, God?
Wonderful.
So that means we have nothing to fear, because he says everything that the enemy would throw at you to destroy you, I've already overcome it and deprived it of its power. And I will make you a conqueror if you'll stay in me.
Hallelujah.
Okay, that's my message.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now I'm going to develop it. Jesus says, because you are in me, I want to use your hands and your feet to enjoy this cheerful good news and the joy and peace I have, and to give it to others. I love this picture of, it's obviously Jesus writing with his finger in the sand, saying, become the hands and feet of Christ. I can look at you, my family, today and know that that's your heart.
Yes.
Because that's what he's placed in your heart. So let's see how we can become his hands and his feet. I want to review from last month, Isaiah 45, 1 through 3. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who called you by your name, am the God of Israel. So that means we lay aside the way we think he's going to work, because he'll do something different than we can imagine, because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways are greater than our ways, and we just can't figure out this amazing God. So the best thing to do is to be totally submissive to him and let him work and bring it forth in a way. See, he says in this verse, thus says the Lord to the anointed, to Cyrus. Cyrus wasn't even a Christian. But God said, I'm going to use him to work. So don't presume I'm not going to listen to my neighbor or an employer or the person that sits in the business office next to me or the person in the checkout line at the grocery store, because who are they and what do they know? How do you know that God hasn't got his anointed hat on them to do something in your life that you would have never suspected?
Yes, amen.
So we say, God, we want the double doors. That means submission to you and letting you break in pieces the gates of bronze. Those are the things, the break in pieces, the gates of bronze, and the bars of iron. Those are the things that we got traumatized by. We got traumatized by when we didn't know how to be in him. He said, I can take that trauma and I can turn it into a hidden treasure.
Mm.
And so that is good news, isn't it?
Yes.
So my message today is, in order to walk through these double doors, we need kingdom passion, which means we need the double doors of power. The first power is the resurrection power. The resurrection power is that power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
That power's in you.
Yes.
Ready to raise you from the dead.
Yes.
and ready to break off every dead thing Hallelujah. That has wrapped yes. itself around you to yes. strangle life out of you mm. and to keep you from knowing who you really are.
Hallelujah.
Keep you from being who God designed you to be. He wants to do that in us. Now the ascension power, he is being seated with him in the heavenlies, having his heart of compassion. Having his heart of compassion and seeing it from his perspective. Now, my problem is I have to work to see it from his perspective. It's easy for me to make judgments. Well, don't like that person, and I don't like this person, and why didn't they do this? And that isn't God's heart. God sees that you and you and you and that one that frustrates me and irritates me is made in his image just like you and I are. And he wants to blow on that image in us and in the other people to bring it alive so that we will be ourselves in him and learn to be an overcomer as he is. So I've had to work hard. I've over and over for years I've said, God, give me your perspective of this person. And maybe it's this person. God, I can't see your heart. I just want to kick them in the shin. I don't have your compassion. So I'm continuing to push into him to get his heart to see from his perspective, because each of us are made in his image and he has brought us as family together to help us all to release the family likeness of who he is, to be sons and daughters and the bride of Christ. Exodus 3:7-8, the Lord said, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and heard their cry. Know that he's heard your cry. He's heard my cry. He's listening. He heard their cry because of their taskmasters. Who's our taskmasters?
Government.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yes, the government at times. But who else is our taskmasters? Huh? Anything that has us in bondage. That would be demonic powers. It would be our flesh that we think our way is better than his way. Whatever our taskmaster is, he said, I've heard your cry, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. God's got such a sense of humor. He just spoke to me this morning. I heard a teacher say not long ago, hey, you know, this land of milk and honey, the closest thing to that is ice cream. So I said, okay, that's my go-ahead to eat as much ice cream as I want. And so the Lord reminded me, and I won't tell you how specifically, no, you're eating too much ice cream. So listen to his voice. Because he says, I'm going to bring you up from that land and I'm going to give you a balance. I'm going to work in your life in a way that you will have your inheritance. Now, in order to get that ascension power, the ascension power means to, let's learn to be ourselves. To be ourselves. And many times you say, well, I don't even know what that is. That's how we can help each other. If Jason gets discouraged and depressed and hopeless, I'd say, Jason, you're not being yourself. Mm-hmm. And he'd say, okay. And I say, because I know God has mm-hmm. designed you to be an overcomer, mm-hmm. to have hope, and to push through that mountain that we've been talking about. We'll either go through that mountain, we go over that mountain, or we tell the mountain to move, but we're not going around the mountain again. We're tired of going around the mountain. So we need each other to discover who we really are. and to help each other be who they are. Now, this scales shows the balance. God wants you to see yourself from His viewpoint, and He is so excited about you. He says, I'm glad to be with you when you're happy and when you're sad. I'm glad to be with you when you just messed up or when you succeeded. He said, I'm always glad to be with you, and I'll never, ever forsake you. If you feel forsaken, it's just either you feel it, and it's a lie feeling that you need to get to the bottom of, or you've left Him, but He never, ever forsakes you. And He says, I'm always glad to be with you. If we will learn to be with Him 24/7, that will eliminate the problems. When we feel those trials, those frustrations, those anger, fear coming in, we say, Jesus, I'm glad you are with me. You've already overcome this. And I'm letting you flow through me. Now others, He wants that same love that we are learning about ourselves to flow through us to others. Now I've looked at this verse, Romans 12:3, for a long time and have wrestled literally over years because I've lived longer than anybody else here except Marilyn and Ed. And I've seen going through the years. When my children were little, it wasn't so popular to praise everything they did. It was just what you're supposed to do, so get on with it. And then as you got older, and my children's generation, you praise them, oh, you blew your nose wonderfully. You know, it seems like that it goes from one extreme to the other. And so I don't want to do anything unless I've got a scripture that complements that. And so I've wrestled with this scripture over and over. Romans 12:3, it says, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by him to God. We are used to getting our importance by what other people say about us, aren't we? And what they think about us. No, we're to get it from what God says about us. And have our favor coming from Him. You and I are no better than anybody else.
Amen. Right.
But we're not inferior to anybody else either.
No, man.
So there's the balance. Think the way He thinks about you. We all have gifts, and they're all different.
Yes.
So we look at the gifts that God has implanted in each other. Tiffany and Caitlin danced beautifully today.
Yes. Amen.
Apart from a miracle, I could never do that. Now, I want to dance, but I can't do that way. And so we respect and honor and rejoice in the difference in each other. Yeah. Because He's putting together a tapestry of gifts that complement each other and give Him the glory because He's the only one that can do it. So to know that He's always glad to be with you, look at this hand. Has His ring finger on it because He's married to you.
Oh, man.
Are you married to Him?
Glory to God.
And He says, Isaiah 49:16, see, I've engraved you in the palm of my hand. You're always on my mind. I'm glad to be with you. Relax in me. Enjoy me because I enjoy you. You tend to get frustrated. You tend to get in despair because you've lost sight of what an amazing God I am. Know that I'm always glad to be with you. And as you stay married to me in my presence, letting me be your life, you will know my power. Now the rub comes, this was a picture I showed last month. The red heart at the bottom is the heart that God gave you when you received Him as your Savior. And He wants us to learn to live from that heart as a way of life. And everybody knows, because we have already talked about that, that there will be trials, there will be frustrations, there will be hard things to work through. In order to keep those hard things from becoming traumatic and wounding, we stay in His presence so that we process it through relationship with Him and relationship with each other. So that, as Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend to show rage or worthy purpose. Have ever any of you ever said, "You made me do that. I'm angry because you did that. If you hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have been angry." Has anybody ever said something like that or close to it?
Yes.
Okay. Shame on you.
Thank you. Thank you for the shame.
That's a good shame. There's a good shame. It's a good shame when you don't act like yourself. That's not acting like yourself.
Amen. You're right.
That's acting like your flesh.
Amen.
And the enemy said, "Yeah, I've got them on the run." So when iron sharpens iron. Now, if it's somebody that's just cut you off in traffic or at the checkout line in the grocery store, you may not have to see them again. So I kept it together for those 15 seconds, and oh, I'm glad I don't have to stay in His presence to overcome that anymore. But what if it's your mate? And you've committed to work through these things together.
Amen.
Or what if it's your kids and they keep coming home? What if it's your neighbor and they don't move away? Then you've got to figure out, how do we do this? How do we do it in real life? You see, this picture I love. When I found this picture, I thought, yes, that describes the whole picture is rain. We talked about 3 months ago that rain represents God's grace. And what's God's grace? His grace is like the windows of heaven open and the gentle, refreshing rains falling. And that grace is what? He's saying, "You're unusually special because I have died for you and I've provided everything you need." This grace is, you didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it, there's nothing you can do to get it. It's my free grace.
Ooh, glory be to God.
Of giving you my favor, my power, and my character. And so I put up at the top of that picture, Jesus with the rivers of living water flowing from Him. He, the living water, is flowing to us 24/7. And He says, "I want you to just receive my grace and let me pull down those bars." All of us have trauma. We have bars that have been erected as a result of not knowing how to walk through our pain, our difficulty. We decide we have to protect ourselves. And we usually protect ourselves by either attacking, it's your fault, or withdrawing, I'll protect my own self and I will zip my lip and say nothing. Guess which one I am?
The zipper.
No, I'm not a zipper. No, I'm not a zipper. And if we are open for God to use whomever, it will probably happen in the unexpected place. Since the last time I met with you, I had lunch with a friend, And as we visited, I invited her to speak into my life. And she said, "Doreen, I see some bars that are there that I don't think you're even conscious of." And I said, "Well, I respect the God in you. And since I'm not conscious of it, I'm not conscious of it. But I respect the God in you, so help me." That's the attitude we need to have. James preaches all the time about we've got stuff from our bloodline, from our culture, and from our heritage. This had come through my bloodline. And you know you can have bars that you don't even know are there.
Yes.
Because you've lived with them behind them all your life. You don't even know they're there.
Amen.
Yes,
right.
And so that's the reason we need each other to say, "I see a bar there." And I said, "I respect the God in you. You see it, let's start praying." And we both started praying. And God started moving. And then God gave her a picture of something that had happened probably 3 to 4 generations back in my bloodline that it caused me to feel that I had to protect myself. And it had continued to pass down. And I could see that. And so she said, "You've now got the authority to break it." And so by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony, and laying my flesh down to Him, it was broken.
Hallelujah.
And I'm still in the process of reaping from that. So I want us to not dread to see bars. Because when you see them, that's because God says, "I'm going to pull them down if you'll let me. I want to give you freedom."
Hallelujah.
Isn't God good?
Yes.
And so as this picture I showed this kind of way last month, that you're going through the mountain. That seems to be the way I do. Now you may go over it or you may speak to it and it move. Whatever He tells you to do seems to tell me to go through it. So many times as I start through it, it looks scary because it's dark in there. And that darkness many times will be anger or fear. And I say, "Okay, God," Deuteronomy 28:12 says, "The Lord shall open to you the good treasury." I want the good treasury, don't you? So, Father, I'm going to push into this place that I am angry about or I'm fearful of. I'm going to press into you, because when I do, I'm going to get to know myself and I'm going to get to know you. And that's what's planted deep in the heart of hearts. The deep calls to deep. He wants you to know Him. And He wants you to know who you are so you can enjoy being yourself. Because when He was on the cross, as the picture on the left shows, Hebrews 12:2, He endured. He endured. He went through it. Despising and ignoring the shame. He paid for your shame. He said, "For the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before Him." The picture on the right, I love, of Jesus laughing. As He endured the cross, He was laughing inside, because when they get it, when they really get it, and walk in Me, my joy is going to be complete. And their joy is going to be released. So, I love this picture of hands from heaven, which is representing God, holding a little scared child, and each one of us have a scared child inside that hasn't been healed and needs haven't been met. And when the storms are raging on the top and the waves are sloshing and we feel we're going to cease to be, remember the scripture on the right, Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Mm. So know that there will be trials, there will be difficulties, but the way through it is to process it in His presence with that relationship with Him, not getting out of it, staying in His hands, and then not breaking relationship with the other person. If the argument gets heated, you can say, I need to take a break and be still a moment till I can get Father's perspective for me. And so that we realize relationship with Him and with other people is the flow of life. Relationship is more important than the problem because He's already solved the problem. We've just got to stay in the relationship so they couldn't solve it. Now, all of us, I feel like here, probably are familiar with the footprints in the sand. The words are written on the left, but you cannot read them because I can't either, hardly. So I want to read them to you. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. Of each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and one to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand, and he noticed that many times along the path of his life there were only one set of footprints. He also noticed what happened at the that this happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. You said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troubled times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. How many of us have thought that? The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you and would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. I encourage you to ask Jesus the question, when a traumatic time in your life flashes back before you and tends to want to suffocate you, say, Jesus, what would you have me to know about that? What would you have me to know about that? Where were you? What were you doing? What would you have me to know about that? And when He speaks to your heart, it settles it. Amen. It settles it. I contend in my flesh to be angry. I have sought for God ever since I can remember. And after I was filled with the Spirit, knowing how to walk with Him 24/7, as I'm talking about, I became angry that I grew up in church, I went to a Christian college, and nobody told me this truth. And I became angry. God, how dare them not tell me the truth of where there was life. He gently spoke to me, but very firmly. God, Doreen, I got through to you as quick as I could. Well, that settled it.
Amen. That settled it.
So whatever you're wrestling with, ask Him about it. And when He speaks to you, it'll settle it. It will settle it. So, as we learn to walk on water, I love this picture of this young girl walking on water through the different frames of her life. And Jesus is overshadowing her, being her life, her strength, her all in all. And we walk on water remembering He's glad to be with us. Now, you may not have many people in your life that are glad to be with you. They may look, oh, here they come again. But Jesus never is like that. He's always glad to be with us. And He will never, ever forsake us. When I begin to feel that I'm being forsaken, I begin to feel sad, I begin to feel lonely, I remember Jeremiah 29:11 from the Message. And I hear Jesus speaking it to me as I say it back to myself. I know what I'm doing, Doreen. I've got it all planned out. Plans to take care of you. Not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hoped for. So keep that in mind. Stay in His presence, knowing that in His presence is the life. And knowing that your relationship with Him and other people are bigger than the problem. If you'll stay in the relationship with Him and stay in the relationship with the other person, if it gets heated, you may take a deep breath and say, let's be quiet just a moment. I think I'm in danger of not being who I really am. And then as you quiet yourself before Him, then you can return to know that Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink. Don't eat that, do drink that. Don't know, shall not, all those stuff. No, it's righteousness. How are we righteous?
It's His righteousness.
It's His righteousness. Yes. And as long as we're walking in His presence, we're righteous.
Yes.
He gives it to us. As we're in His presence, we're righteous. And peace and joy. The peace that only God gives. The joy that comes from knowing He's glad to be with us.
Hallelujah.
And so then we can walk on water. A precious friend adopted as her saying for this year. She said, God's told me this year to walk on water. And as she was in her job, performing it one day, she was doing what she was professionally claimed being hired to do. And as this person was leaving, she just said, I want to encourage you that God has told me this year I can walk on water. And I'm going to trust Him to do it. Later, she saw that same person, and they didn't mention the shot she had given them or the pills they'd given them. Said, what I needed was to hear people can walk on water. So as we move with Him, He will let us go into those deep, dark places, and we will discover a treasure out of our weakness. Just very quickly, one of the weakest areas in my life is writing. That was the only thing I failed on the college entrance exam. Couldn't do it. When I had to take 5-day English, when everybody else took 3. Then after God filled my life, I was so excited. I thought everybody in the world wanted to know what I had found out. Did they? No. But I did get a group of people in my neighborhood that were willing to listen to me. And then it began to spread. And God impressed upon me many, many ways that I couldn't be every place telling this truth. I had to write it down. But I said, God, I can't write. The person that I thought He was going to let me have to help me couldn't. And somebody called me for counsel and said, can you help me give counsel to so-and-so? So I told her what I would say. And she said, but Doreen, is there a book that I could give this person? And I said, you know, I've searched far and wide. Now, this was in the early 70s, to find one that would have everything in it that I think they need to know. And that's the reason I'm trying to put one together, but I'm having such a hard time. She said, oh, I'm good at that. Can I help you? Well, I kind of wanted this other person, but this one was available. But this was God's choice. And as we work together, I'd like to have it done yesterday. And I thought, okay, we'll be done in probably 3 months. She and I most of the time spent 6 hours on the phone. She'd say, okay, Doreen, what did you mean by this? And I said, well, I mean this and this and this. She said, okay, yeah, we can switch this around, yeah, why didn't I think about saying it that way? Well, she was a new Christian, and she said, but Doreen, I want to know what to do about this problem. I said, we're not dealing with that problem. I didn't want to be pushed into another area. And she said, but I'd just like to have the answer of it. We don't have to put it in the book, but can you? And so I always know God's got the answer, and if I'm pushing a corner, he'll show me, and if I'm talking to somebody else, but I just didn't want to do that hard work. Have you ever been that way?
Sure.
But I loved her, and I said, okay, let's ask God what to do about this, and he would tell us, and she'd say, that's so good. Can't we work that in? Well, now that we've developed it, we might as well. So I'm saying that to say, God wants to unearth the deep treasures in you, and he wants to help each other. We needed each other. She was broken in one place, and as we worked together, her needs were met. And I was pushed to go farther than I wanted to. So God will use us in each other's life. So it's serious, ladies and gentlemen, how we treat each other.
Yes. Amen.
And that we must reverence the God in each other. They are made in his image just as we are. And so Paul, I can identify with him. He was presumptuous. He thought he was doing God a favor to kill these Christians. How many times have I presumptuously thought you wanted to hear something I had to say and you just wanted me to zip it? And I presumptuously moved where I shouldn't. And so when Paul's going off to kill some Christians, Acts 9:5, you're familiar with it, and Saul said he was knocked off of his horse. I identify with that. God used to have to knock me down. And says, and Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. So when I'm speaking to myself now, when I don't have compassion for someone else, when I don't have patience with someone else, could I be persecuting Jesus? Could I be persecuting him because I do not have his heart for them? Matthew 25:37-40, I love this picture because it describes. I had a pastor I was working with in the 80s draw this for me, and he drew a wife loving a repulsive husband. Can you imagine that? That your mate might at some time be repulsive to you? So he drew the most repulsive husband that he could, one that hadn't shaved, and he's sitting there with his smoke and his can of something to make him feel good when he ought to be under conviction, and he's just got his eyes glued on his television. And so then the wife says, Jesus, I'd just like to mash the delete button and let him go. And God says, will you be my hands and feet? Will you be my hands and feet? Will you love him like he were me? And Matthew 25:37-40 says, the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So that person that's repulsive, see that it's Jesus. You are ministering to him, seeking to bring alive God's image in him. And ask, God, am I repulsed by them because they remind me of myself? Or I just haven't developed a respect for the gift that you've given them. Being his hands opening our hands and saying, God, I'm willing to be your hands for someone else. And as I said, Pat, that helped me write my first book, we ended up being wonderful friends. She ministered to me, and I ministered to her. So the one that you may be wanting to push aside will end up becoming a treasure to you as you go to the deep places, discovering the God in them. And you may just enjoy dancing together, rejoicing over His provision in His grace. But know that our process is bumpy. You get a revelation and you're on high. It's going to be tested. You're going to have to walk it out. You may get victory. You may get deliverance. You may get all these wonderful things. But you're going to have to walk it out because your flesh is used to doing that thing and it has a groove in your soul. And you have to fill up that groove with the Spirit of God. So when you feel bumped, bump into His arms and practice. You say, but I loved this person one time. Isn't that enough? No, God said, no, practice. Practice on them. Practice on them. Practice on them until it is totally established in you. And in that way, you will know Him, His power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. And that's what it's all about. So know that those of you that are married, God used the silver cord of life to draw you together. Then after a while, when the clouds came up and the part of them that hadn't been redeemed sets in, you feel tricked. What did I get here? But there is enough to hold you together. His life, His light, and this relationship that you're going to guard. Knowing that He has a silver lining to this. That He will hold you together to bring forth His glory. So as somebody talked today, Jason said he wanted to be perfect. That's very, very admired. I admire that. But he got the truth. He's not the perfect one. I remember in teaching in the 70s, falling on my face and crying out to God, God, will I never be perfect? He said, no, you won't. And he said, the most important thing for you to remember is those people are not inviting you into their life. If they did, they'd really have problems. It's me that's the perfect one that they are inviting into His life. So see your new heart that He's given you, the real you, in His hand. There's still clouds there. But in His hands, the imperfect in me and in you works together for good. Isn't that good news? So in closing, open your hands to Him. And let Him redeem all the things that need to be redeemed. The traumas, the hurts, the pains. And know that staying in His presence and valuing the relationship with another person is the road to walking it out. And then the kingdom's passion will open the double doors, releasing resurrection power and ascension power. Let's thank Him. Father, I thank You that our Lord Jesus Christ wears the crown. And I thank You that we are in His hand and He loves to be with us 24/7. When we blow it, when we don't blow it, He loves us because we're in Him. Father, I pray a fresh spirit of relaxing over each one of us, that we will relax in His presence, in His power, in His strength, and let Him bring alive who we really are and enjoy being ourselves and learning to enjoy others being themselves and have the freedom to receive from others. Darn, you're not acting like yourself right now. you're right, I'm not. Thank you for loving me enough to point that out. And then going ahead to say, Jesus, I'm trusting you to change those parts and heal them and be my all in all. And I pray blessings over my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name.